A very good day, good listener, and thank you so much as always for clicking on this podcast and this particular episode of Joe Blogs About Films. Whether you're a first-time listener or a long-time listener, like I say on every episode, it means the world. Thank you so much for clicking, for spinning, for sharing, whatever it is. I really do appreciate all your support. Do you ever find yourself revisiting a classic film, or maybe just a favourite film of yours, and then afterwards uttering those seven little words, "They don't make films like that anymore"? If this is you, then thankfully you have a saviour and a film to get behind, because Paul Thomas Anderson has managed just that with his latest release, One Battle After Another. Whilst I appreciate PTA may have some releases that are better than others, and I haven't actually seen every single release of his, he does manage to create something truly unique and original that delivers for its audience. But out of all of his work, I think that One Battle After Another could be the one that just hits all the right marks for anyone that goes in to watch. The film is excellent and a very impressive body of work that harks back to those classic 80s or 90s releases that felt so dense and rich with its action and its characters that made us love them all the more. That's not to say that this film is nearly 3 hours of action and explosion, because of course it's not. The film does take its time to let you settle before changing gears, but once those gears do change, boy does this thing send you on a roller coaster. There is so much genre bending in this one, taking very serious subject matters and adding a satirical approach in places that only works in the film's favour, because it allows you to breathe through the sheer intensity that the film also delivers. The thrills are all there, but so too is the laughter, and it's not at all overkill. If you're a Leo fan, then obviously you're going to get your money's worth once again. DiCaprio clocks in and delivers as you would expect from a man of his talent. The up-and-coming actress Chase Infinity 2 was outstanding. I believe this is only her second role or something, but she puts out a terrific performance in here and has a promising career ahead. But the showstopper in this has to be Sean Penn. He clocks in and then works over time, a very intimidating and tad psychotic villain that will stop at nothing in order to get what he wants. There's a lot to unpack when it comes to Penn and his character, but safe to say he was magnificent, and this easily could win him an Oscar. The whole cast though essentially just brings their A game, as not a single person in this film, you know, doesn't deliver with their performance, because all are truly, truly terrific. With some genius camera techniques and cinematography, even as going as far to shooting the film on VistaVision, this is the first film in 60 years to use said format, as well as the score courtesy of Johnny Greenwood, which goes hand in hand and accompanies the visuals stunningly, One Battle After Another is a film that has to be seen on the big screen by all. It's one that really does remind you why you go see films like this. It has so much in there and so many characters to love and get behind that you want to see them succeed at every single corner. Not just the characters, but the actual film itself. Like, you really want this one to succeed. But before I proceed, just a quick thank you for clicking and spinning this episode and podcast. If you like what you hear and you haven't done so already, please hit the like and follow button on the streaming app of your choice. That way you will never miss any new episodes that go live for the podcast. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook by searching Joe Blogs About Films. And finally, rate the podcast on Spotify, Apple or Google, wherever you are listening. It helps a lot, it means a lot, and once again a massive thank you for all of your support. When their evil enemy resurfaces after 16 years, a group of ex-revolutionaries reunite to rescue one of their own's daughter. When I was at university, we got to watch some truly terrific cinema, including many of the greats and classics. It was a great mix and a great balance of films from the past, as well as more contemporary classics that were utilising the tools provided for them by filmmakers over the years. Now, there aren't too many films since I've started doing this podcast that I've come away and thought, yeah, that one 100% would have been one that I would have studied at uni, you know, maybe been the odd couple, but I genuinely feel that One Battle After Another would be on that list. It really does have a lot going for it. The film starts off with the first battle, being this group of militant revolutionaries, the French 75 as they're called, freeing detained immigrants, and then their battles never really stop. Like, those first 30 minutes, you know, have seen the success these revolutionaries have had over the years, you know, freeing the oppressed, standing up to the government and America as a whole. It's engrossing. Their cause is their life, and we see how it can consume a person even when they now have new responsibilities, like being a mother. I thought the balance of seeing Teyana Taylor struggle with that responsibility in this film's opening was presented so purely. Like, she's got her mum life and also her revolution life, and there's only one that comes first for her, something that DiCaprio's character understands even if he doesn't wholeheartedly agree with it. It's like a ticking time bomb for Teyana Taylor's character, Perfidia Beverly Hills. Like, something is gonna crack, and sure enough it does, sending this whole revolutionary operation into chaos as the team is one by one picked off before they could flee, all except Leo and their baby girl. I guess now would be a good time to bring up that whilst I thought this opening was really great and strong and it gets things moving, it's only only really until the midway point and into the third act where I feel the film really became that brilliant piece of media that everyone is hailing. And that's not me saying that I didn't enjoy the first act, because it is excellent, don't get me wrong, but it's once those gears change in that middle section that I think the film excels into something spectacular. Because following the film's intense opening, in which we have established, you know, all of these key players, we then jump 16 years later, in which we have Leo and his daughter living in hiding. That is, of course, until Sean Penn returns as Colonel Stephen J. Lockjaw. Penn was one of the ones in charge during the film's opening breakout operation of this immigrant detention centre, and ever since he met Tina Taylor's character, he has built this sexual fascination with her. And this fascination then leads to the question of whether he is in fact the father of this child, of her child, that's been raised by Leo. But the thing is that this child is also a sin of Penn's past, because he is a bigot, he's also a misogynist, and he's trying to get into this, what is essentially a white supremacy club that does have that feeling of a mirror being held up against modern America when all is said and done. There are certainly people out there like this guy, and if you told me that there was a secret elite club where the part is involved, rummaged a few steps away from all wearing white robes and pointy hats within America, I couldn't say I'd be surprised. And even though the film does have this serious tone and topic over oppression and white supremacy, the satire that comes with it is a welcome addition, as it's simply just poking fun at these kind of idiots. It's a balance that works well throughout when it comes to that comedy, but most impressive when it's making these kind of like dark yet tasteful jokes that you don't normally see in a film anymore. But Penn really steals the show, as I say, as this character. The way he holds himself, presents himself, is highly impressive and designed to unsettle you whenever he is on screen. He's a bit of a loose cannon, but not too loose, because he knows exactly what he wants and how he can get it. The audience may not fully know what he's planning, but it is a lot of fun finding out, you know, seeing him descend into a little bit of madness and chaos over whether he is the father to Chase Infinity's character. He's certainly a stressful watch, because you know if he is in fact the father, it only means one thing for her character. But he played the part so well, and as I said earlier, this very well could bag him an Oscar for supporting role. Chase Infinity, as mentioned too earlier, was outstanding. I felt there was a great level of naivety in this young girl that doesn't quite fully understand why her dad is the way that he is, and essentially just sees him as this delusional, paranoid figure. She displayed a great range and variety of emotions that felt so authentic, as it pretty much presented how similar she was to her own mother. She has a great arc as well within this story, and the further that Penn and the police try and catch her, the further it pushes her to becoming like the revolutionaries that her mother and father were part of. Now, what can we say about DiCaprio? I mean, the guy's been around and starred in so many fantastic things that we know he's going to deliver. What I love most, though, about DiCaprio this time around is that he really got to lean more into that comedic side within One Battle After Another, starting off as a member of the French 75 that would make explosives and, you know, occasional fireworks setting off for distraction. He has to flee and raise this child in hiding while smoking a shit ton of weed in the process. He kind of reminded me of a little more eccentric version of the dude from The Big Lebowski. There are some really excellent moments and dialogue, one of which involves Leo trying to remember a secret code when calling the French 75 revolutionaries. Now, this code will help him get to the rendezvous point for his daughter, and the poor guy has smoked so much weed over the 16 years that he cannot remember for the life of him what this code is, and it is glorious. Excellent performance and delivery throughout all of these conversations over the phone, you know, and his exchange and interaction with Benicio Del Toro as well was very, very entertaining and well captured on the lens. And it brings me nicely to probably the highlight of the film, which not only is intense and entertaining, but showcases the brilliance of PTA when it comes to executing and delivering so many different scenes and sequences in one go. Throughout the film, there are a ton of great film techniques used, you know, long takes, close-ups, wide shots, they're all in here to be expected, you know, but there's a moment in which there's this riot kicking off outside, and the film ramps up and then never stops from this moment. We have Del Toro walking around this building, introducing Leo to the many family members as well as immigrants that are staying with him. The police obviously are flying around outside along with all of these rioters. You've got skateboarders on the roof as well, trying to get Leo from A to B. All the while in between this, you've got Leo searching for somewhere to put his phone on charge and then escape. Like, me summarizing this sequence, this whole scene, doesn't do it any justice, because it really is so impressive how it's all being captured and handled without a detriment to any of those other sequences that are playing along at the same time in this 20 or 30 minute stint. It's engaging, engrossing, humorous too, and it just doesn't let up from here, because before you know it, you're then suddenly in like this car chase sequence. Like, how did we get here? But it's highly, highly impressive seeing how we have managed to get to that moment, and it's stuff like this that makes it all the worthwhile watching. Now, I don't want to just give you a play-by-play of this film, like, you don't need to hear me waffle and provide audio description, but the bottom line is that this film really is one that has everything. It is dense with so many styles and set pieces that you can can be laughing at one moment and then having your eyes widened at a car chase that again only utilises some awesome cinematography and filming styles. Pretty much from the riot scene that I was just talking about onwards, the film just doesn't really stop, and in doing so, it brings in a high energy roller coaster that not only entertains but invokes and ignites its audience with thought-provoking subject matters that are extremely relevant in this current climate and state of the world. It's one that does leave you satisfied by those end credits. From where we started to where we leave this thing, it's a film where you are hopeful for these characters and their futures without leaving too much unanswered or unexplored. I came out of the film and I was like, yep, that's a solid 8, 8.5, and my wife had to sit me down and show me the light because she pointed out that we watch a lot of crap and have seen some very questionable films that have disappointed, and this was not one of those films. So following our discussion, as well as being able to just, you know, kind of sit on this for a day or two, I'm going to give this a 9 out of 10, which my wife still thinks is too low because she says it's a 10 out of 10 for anyone interested. But basically, it's a very, very, very good film. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. If you have seen it, I implore you to tell everyone else to go check it out. But of course, let me know your thoughts once you have seen the film. How does this rank in the list of your Paul Thomas Anderson films, your Leo films, all that jazz? Would love to know. I'll be back with more reviews. Don't you worry. Thank you as always for clicking on the podcast. Your support means the world. Until the next episode, take care.